Size-wise, Judy was what Ted preferred to call cuddly. There was something wonderfully comforting about putting his arms around a girl who felt warm and soft, with no bony bits and sharp angles. Her face was soft too, with eyes as trusting as a Jersey cow. Not so much of a delicate English rose, Judy was more of a rhododendron or a peony, blooming large and wide and hiding at the back of the garden. It turned out her fulsome flesh was accommodating. Luscious and tender, it yielded to his touch on Fridays when his father was out down the pub. She would get herself comfortable on the sofa and arrange herself so Ted could get a good look. He'd be there, on his knees on the fireside rug, with one hand fondling her bits and the other rubbing at his own. He always wore two pairs of underpants on Fridays. Fingering was all she would allow to begin with. "No, Ted," she would say, when he asked if there was any chance they might move the physical relationship on a little. "No girl ever got pregnant by a lad's finger. You'll have to make do." And so he made do. And he continued to make do, all the while hoping his persistence would win the day sometime soon. "Well, that's what courting couples do, Judy," he'd remind her as he sank to his knees on the hearth rug by the electric fire on Friday nights. "That's what love is all about, Judy."
"Is it?"
"Oh, yes. I bet you'd like the real thing better than all this pretending." It was a brave shot, and he'd timed it well. Her eyes were doing that fluttering thing, and she was squeezing the muscles in her thighs. Her backside was juddering.
"I'd have to feel more secure in where all this is leading, Ted," she said in little gasps.
"I should think that will be all the way, Judy."
"And you love me?"
"You know I do." They booked an overnight stay in Blackpool at a boarding house Ted had heard about from a work colleague. Judy told her mother she was staying with a friend. Ted met her at the train station and they ran down the platform holding hands, just like all the honeymoon couples they'd seen on Saturdays. They signed in as Mr. and Mrs. Noble, and Judy giggled when Ted wanted to get her on the bed as soon as they were alone in their room.
"What are you doing, Ted?"
she said, pushing back against him. "What do you think I'm doing?" he said, trying to manoeuvre her bulk back toward the bed.
"That can come later, can't it?" she said. "We've got all the time in the world for that, Ted, love. Don't you want to see what's happening in the Tower Ballroom tonight?"
"Not really, Judy," he said, thinking that something might happen in the region of his own balls if he didn't offload soon.
"They'll know we're not married if we don't go straight back out, Ted."
"How do you mean?"
"Married couples don't start shagging as soon as they arrive somewhere, do they? Not when they can do it any time they want."
Ted didn't think it mattered what the landlady thought about their marital status. She'd have seen it all before. He tried to explain to Judy that Blackpool landladies would soon go out of business if they insisted on documentary evidence of their guests' marriages. But Judy's face was set, and Ted didn't want to spoil his chances for later. He'd waited long enough. A few more hours wouldn't hurt, and by that time he'd have made sure she'd had a couple of baby shams to help get her in the mood. Her mood was giggly again by the time he had her on her back on the bed at Seaview Parade. He'd have liked a bit more appreciation of his efforts with the condom, but she seemed to think the whole procedure was a joke. When he asked her to lie back and open up, she enthusiastically obliged. But she didn't stop laughing.